I'm just kidding. I have it on.
About how these mission groups and Young Life and YWAM and all these different things, they're all awesome. But the YL on my shirt, or the organization's really, it's about Jesus. And that the founder of Young Life was a pastor in the 40s, and he had a quote, and I'm going to use it again because it follows up with what you said, Jared. And that Young Life is not just about Jesus. It's all that Young Life is about is Jesus. And so today, as the director of Young Life, I get asked to come and speak about Young Life a lot, and what do we do and how do we do it. But more importantly, I want you to hear about the why. And that is, it's because Jesus loves people and loves kids and wants us to see and live that out in our lives as loving kids. So know that when we talk about Young Life, really it's all about Jesus. Get my notes here. You know, I spoke here last year about this time, and hoping I don't totally mess this up, I get asked to speak again. I just have to let you guys know here at BCC what it's like for me to come up here and look out at this room. Because I say it every time, and I look out and I see some of the leaders that my wife and I had in Young Life. And we, my Bible study that we called Campaigners, you're out in this room. There's my son. And it just means a lot to look out and see you folks. And just to let you know how important and how big your role was in our lives. And that's why we're able to stand up here today and continue to tell kids about who Jesus is. So Young Life, I'm going to tell you today a little bit about Young Life. I'm going to tell you about what we do and how and why. And then I'm also going to invite a couple of my friends up here in a little bit to share with you as well. So that's what you can look forward to. It's a little different, like Jared said, than what you're used to. And when you invite Young Life folks on the stage, it can even get more different because you just never know what I'm going to say. Young Life, what is it? It's a world-class outreach ministry for adolescents. Our staff and leaders enter the world of kids, and we focus on what matters most to kids. Fun, friendship, adventure, and the idea that they have a sense of significance about who they are. By doing those four things, we believe that leaders earn the right to share with kids what matters most to us, and that is who Jesus Christ is. And just the truth about who Jesus is. Now, the way we do Young Life, you know, any of these organizations, we usually have our own language. And ours is camp, club, campaigners, and contact work. They're these fancy C language. You know, before I go any further, I got to tell you guys this. When I get asked to speak for something like this, I have two goals. So keep this in mind. Number one, that you're not bored. So if people start, if I start seeing a lot of people like checking watches, I'm not offended. I just cut to my prayer and get off stage. So just know that. If you're bored, I'm out. Don't worry about it. Number two, that there's one thing that you're able to take away from what I have to share today. Just one. If you get more than that, I really did a great job. But if you can just take one thing from what I share today, we'll all have a win. So, Young Life. We've got camp. And a lot of times in Bismarck, I know anyway, we have a history of Young Life camping since the 70s, where we get to take kids away to these awesome Young Life resorts for kids. And the camp is awesome. We just got back here at the end of July from Crooked Creek Ranch in Colorado. And over the course of that week, kids get to have some of the most fun they've ever had. They get to be kids for a whole week. We lock up their cell phones, and they don't get a text and check Facebook, or me for that matter, to be able to do those kind of things. So kids get a chance to be kids, and they get a chance to have, like I said, more fun with friends. And over the course of the week, a Young Life speaker shares with them the story of who Jesus is. And one of the greatest things I think Young Life does as well is sharing a very true picture of who Jesus is. Because too often kids get brought up thinking that God and following Jesus is a rule book, or that they have to do these or don't do this. And at the end of the day, it's a relationship with Jesus and following who he is. Another thing we do, and this is back here at home, is club. And club is just a word that we use because it doesn't really mean anything. And kids come to a home or to our Young Life office area, and we sing songs, and they hear from a speaker, a leader, either myself or one of our volunteer leaders, that just shares a very simple message about their life and about who Jesus is. Young Life is a multi-denominational program. We don't focus on anything other than that person of Jesus Christ. Another thing we do, especially following camp, is we get our high school students together and we do campaigners. And that's simply a Bible study. And so for 2 weeks after we got back from camp here at the beginning of August, we had kids showing up at 7:30 in the morning and we just started reading through the book of John. So we would just do one chapter a day, and we'd eat donuts, and we'd catch up, and just see what's going on with kids. And it was just a fun, neat way to see leaders and kids continue to go deeper into who they are, into who this person of Jesus is. And that's what we did for 2 weeks. And leaders will continue to do that throughout the year, meeting with their groups of guys and gals that get together. Lastly, most importantly, you can get rid of Young Life's camp, and you can get rid of our club. And to be honest with you, you can even get rid of our Bible study, because there's a lot of great Bible studies already in town. But what Young Life really does well is contact work. And that's just a fancy, fancy term for Young Life going out and spending time with kids. That we truly walk alongside adolescents, try to be a part of their life. We do life with kids. The way we do that is we meet kids where they're at. So we don't put up a sign that just says, hey, come to Young Life Club. We do that too. But before we do that, leaders show up. One of my leaders is up here that's going to be sharing me, and she's laughing at me. Because leaders show up at random weird stuff. Like, they'll be at games. They'll be at school functions. They'll be at the Monday Night Comic Relief. We get leaders that end up hosting those things. Anything under the sun. If there's kids there, Young Life leaders are probably in the crowd. And it's because we care about the kids, and we want to be there for them. Chelsea's going to share a little bit more about that later, so I don't want to take all her content for today. So why do we do it? Why do leaders, volunteers? I'm the only paid staff in Bismarck. Beyond that, we have about 20 adults that reach out to our local high schools. And they do it completely volunteer. They're insurance salesmen, and they're teachers. And what else do some of them do? Chelsea, she's not listening to me. So there's all these different vocations, but then they give their time, lots and lots of time and energy and money to take kids to lunch, to go to their games. They spend money on being a part of these kids' lives, and they do it. And why do they do it? Because Jesus loved them first. And so it's these leaders' job to go and be that smile for these kids, because that might be the only Jesus they see that day. The way we do that as well is just wandering. I always tell people, I'm like, wander today. Because, you know, a lot of times people look at me and they're like, Dan, what do you do? My first answer is, great question. I'm still trying to figure it out. The second thing is, I wander around. I'm in coffee shops. I'm at the schools. I volunteer with a lot of different other school organizations. So I wear a lot of different hats. I coach the men's joke around dance team. I volunteer with an after-school Native American culture club. And the truth is because I don't really care if it's Young Life or it's Four Directions Culture Club or if it's working with YouthWorks this last week, it's that we wander. And so that's what we train leaders to do, is just wander around and be a part of kids' lives and do it with intention. Don't just go there. I always say there's a lot of parents and adults at basketball games and stuff like that where kids are at, but a lot of times it's because, you know, they're the parent. And so it's when a Young Life leader shows up, they're there because they're another adult to care about that kid. And we tell them, don't just stand in the back and clap for the one kid you know. Go say hi to these kids. Go say what's up. Go meet people. So they're there with intention, and they're there with a purpose. As we wander around, we're always trying to invite people into something bigger and something better than what they're used to. And that's just a life following Jesus. Jesus, you know, simply said when he came, he didn't come and he didn't guilt people again, and he didn't just throw rules at them as a way to live life. He very simply ran into them when he first ran into Peter and James. He would just say, hey, come, follow me. That's what he said to them. He didn't say, hey, you have to go to the church and pray this or do that. He just said, come, follow me. And some of them were crazy enough to do just that. They dropped everything they were doing. They gave up what they pulled a Patty Meidinger and moved to the other side of the world and just followed him wherever he led him. And that's powerful. And that's what we're telling kids too. We're not telling them that they have to necessarily leave, but we're calling them to something better, something greater than they think they can experience on their own, something better than the life that they're just living, trying to figure out who they are, and that Jesus is the answer to that. So I talked about how the greatest mistake I think we do is giving an unclear picture to Jesus. To me, it's because 2,000 years ago, this Jesus guy showed up and called us how to live. And he did it very simply. Prior to Jesus being here, people tried to follow the Ten Commandments, which is just an awesome set of 10 rules to try to live your life by. But we did a pretty poor job of it. And if I go through the list, I can look at them and I think, yeah, I do a pretty poor job of that. But Jesus came and he summed it all up. And he did it in Matthew 22. And it was what's called the greatest commandment. Jesus got asked by a group of religious leaders of the day. They just said, well, teacher, what's the greatest commandment? I'm paraphrasing, so deal with me here if you bear with me here on this one. And he just said, well, the greatest commandment is this. Love the Lord your God. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor. Love people. And what he was doing there was he was summing up the Ten Commandments. Because four of the Ten Commandments talks about relationship between people and God. And the other six talk about relationship between people and people. It's very simple. It's all about these relationships. And it's all about the way we treat each other. And it's about giving God his proper place in your life and then treating people the way that Jesus showed us how to treat them. With love, with grace, with truth. I already said all that. Said that part. Oh, here it is. The next part, honestly too, when I look at those two things, right, it should be really simple. Love God, love your neighbor. And I still mess up on one of those two all the time. And sometimes it's the one where I'm like, yeah, I didn't really do that. I didn't really honor God there. I didn't give him his right place. And other times it's because I didn't treat my neighbor well. I didn't treat my family member well, my friend well. And sometimes it's both. Sometimes I'm kind of messing up on both. But at other times, you know, that's where we're supposed to be going. We're supposed to be giving God his proper place in our life. And we're supposed to be treating people well. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 is the verse that's in your program today. And I'm going to share that because to me it's kind of the anchor verse that I use for Young Life and for Young Life leaders anytime I do a training. And it says this, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you. Oh, it's up there. Okay, my version's different, that's okay. We loved you so much we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, so not only Jesus, but our lives as well, because you had become so very dear to us. In a moment, I'm going to be introducing two folks, two gals who had a chance. They've had a chance to share and talk about Jesus in their life. And they've also had a chance just to share life, to be there for one another, to be friends. And to me, that verse is so big. Because again, when Jesus walked on earth, when he was down here, when we read these stories in this book from 2,000 years ago, at least when I read it, the way I get it, he didn't just come in and say like, well, here you go, Jared. Here's Jesus. You're good now. Take care. No, I mean, to be fair, that is enough. But honestly, what he did beyond that was he took care of people's needs. When people were hungry, he fed them. When they needed a friend, it seemed like a friend would show up. And so Jesus gives us himself, which is salvation and truth, but then he also takes care of us here. And he takes care of our humanness. And he wants us to live a life right here and right now that's honoring him. One last note I want to say, because then I think I'm turning off my rock star mic and I'm going to hand it over to my friends. But I just want to say this. I'm a young parent. I have three young sons. They're the little blondies running around in here. And although I'm a young parent, I also work with kids. I'm no expert. But I want to say this. At the end of every summer, I get to go spend those 9 days with kids. We take a busload of high schoolers down to these camps, these places. And the camps are great, but beyond that, it's the time we get to spend with those kids. It's the getting real with kids and having honest conversations. And over the course of that and hearing from both kids in my cabin that I get to hang out with and from leaders that are with the gals, because obviously I just have guys in my cabin, I'm hearing the same things over and over again. And so here's my last little note, and this is just on a personal side. Parents, love your kids. Tell them you love them. Encourage them. Let them know you care. Kids don't always open up and reciprocate it back. They might not tell it to you back or return it to you. But it doesn't matter. Say it to them anyway. And more than that, they need you to show it to them. And I share that with you because, especially this year, I have to tell you, I was just completely caught off guard by some of our kids that we hang out with that just appear like everything's going on so great. You know, I know their parents, they got a good home life, they have things provided for them. Some of the kids in our group didn't have that. They had some messy past. But despite that, no matter who it was, they had a lot of self-hate. And they had a lot of doubt about who they were. And they just felt like they didn't matter. And so we need to continue to tell our kids and our community that they matter and that we love them and that we care about them. And again, we do that because we know God loves them just for who they are, that they're perfect just the way they are. So do that. Like the psalmist said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's the message we need to tell kids. So, sharing lives, sharing the gospel, Chelsea Grafseth and Naomi Rust are going to come up and share. So let's bring them up. Warm applause. They're excited. I can see it, Nay. So I'm going to introduce these two quickly before I hand it over. I think you have a mic. This is my good friend, Chelsea Grafseth. I've known Chelsea since she was a senior in high school. She's now 25-year-old middle school teacher herself. And nobody spends more hours hanging out with kids in this town than Chelsea. Nobody. I mean that. I know a lot of people that spend time with kids. She does. Common misnomer of Young Life leaders. We do have adult friends. But Chelsea is just an amazing blessing to Young Life and to Bismarck and in Mandan. And so if you don't know her, now you do. She's amazing. So Chelsea, this is a thank you in front of people as well. And then, you'll probably introduce her later, but whatever, I'm on a roll. Naomi Rust just graduated from Bismarck High. She's been involved with Young Life for the last few years. She'll tell you more about that. And this last year, she also helped us out mentoring students younger than herself. Just a phenomenal young lady. It's been a joy getting to know her. And so they're both going to share with you now. So thank you so much. Appreciate you listening. If you were bored, let me know. I'll fix it for next time because I'm hoping to be back again someday. Thanks.
The story I'm going to share with you is about the relationship between myself and a girl we'll call Angie for today. Angie knows I'm doing this, so don't feel like I'm breaking any trust. Angie is going to be a senior in college this year, but our story starts about 5 years ago, I think it was. My family and I were in Minneapolis for a wedding, and my dad met this lady who's a single mom and was moving to Bismarck with her 16-year-old daughter. And she asked my dad, what is it that my daughter should get involved in Bismarck, and how can she get connected? And my dad said, well, my daughter's a Young Life leader. She should do that. But my dad didn't really know how to explain Young Life, so the conversation kind of just ended there. And on the car ride home, he said, hey, I met this girl. I think she's going to BHS, or I met her mom. You should meet her. Okay, Dad. Fast forward 2 months to about a week before camp, and I'm hanging out with the girls that I'm going to bring to camp that year. And I'm asking them about their basketball camp they just got done with, and they said, oh, we met this really cool new girl. Her name's Angie, and we're really excited about her being on our team. And I thought, put it together that this is the same girl that my dad talked about in Minneapolis, and I thought, it's just way too coincidental. So I asked the girls for her number, and I texted her that day, and I said, hey, Angie, this is Chelsea. You don't know me, but I'm a Young Life leader. You don't know what that is, but we're going to Colorado in 5 days for 9 days, and you should come with. And whenever I wonder if God is involved with Young Life, I just think back to that moment, because 2 days later, I'm in her driveway picking her up to fundraise for camp. And I have no idea what I was doing. I didn't think about it clearly because that's like the creepiest text you could ever send to a high school kid ever. But I sent it and she came and she got in my car that day and I said, Angie, I'm Chelsea, nice to meet you. I don't do the new girl thing, so you're just one of the girls now. Let's go sell pizza coupons. And so before I knew it, we were in Colorado having the week of our lives. We had tons of fun. We did all these adventurous things. And really, I'm starting to get to know Angie. A cool thing about camp is they have club at camp. And so at camp, club looks like 500 plus kids beating on a door, ready to get into this building, running into the stage, singing at the top of their lungs their favorite songs, playing these silly games, laughing at themselves. And then at the end, the camp speaker, like Dan said, shares a little bit about Jesus. And I think what the coolest thing that happens at camp is then after club, we go back to our cabins, where myself, as a leader from Bismarck, gets to hang out with these girls from Bismarck who I'm going home with and talk about how that talk, how that person of Jesus relates to their life. And all week, Angie shared, and all week she seemed super positive. She definitely knew who Jesus was. I remember one moment at camp, the other leader and I were talking, and we were like, you know, there's obviously something in this girl's life that's causing some turmoil, but she seems really excited to be here, and she seems really excited to be living in Bismarck and just really excited about life. And towards the end of camp, we have the cross talk, is what we call it, and that is where the speaker does just that. He gives the message of the cross and the beautiful gift that Jesus gave to each of those kids personally. And as you can imagine, that cabin time is usually a lot of fun. The kids are asking a lot of questions. They're really excited about what they just heard. Most of them have heard it before, but not so personally and not so relatable to their life. And Angie was silent. And not only was she silent, she kind of seemed really down in the dumps. And it was really strange. And so after cabin time, I said, Angie, what's the deal? Do you not feel good? Do you, what's wrong? And she said, you know how the cabin speaker talked about hope and how there's hope now? And I said, yeah, and I believe that. And she said, not for me. What do you mean? And she said, well, you see, my dad died a few years ago. And because of how my dad died, people tell me he's in hell. And I can't live the rest of my life thinking I'll never see my dad again. And so I don't think I want to know God. And I don't think I want to be friends with Jesus because I want to see my dad again and I don't want to go to heaven. Angie and I did not go to the next event. We spent time just hanging out, the two of us. And she told me a lot about her life that night. And a lot of it was deep things that were really hurtful. However, she told it to me like she was telling me you're wearing a denim vest and a coral maxi dress and you're talking at a church today. It was very factual. It was non-emotional. It was very rehearsed. And I think it was like that because in that moment, I was Angie's camp counselor. She didn't know that when we got off the bus in Bismarck, I was running with her. I was going to be her friend. She thought I was dropping her off in Bismarck, and that was it. And why would you open up to just a camp counselor who's going to ditch you in 3 days? So when we got home, we did just that. She was involved in basketball and soccer, and I was at every single game, and I delighted in the big hugs after a big win when I could tell her I was so proud of you and got her sweat all over me. I also delighted in those hard losses. Those happen, right? Those hard losses where I could tell her, you know, you looked really good in that uniform, and so let's focus on that tonight, and I'm still really proud of you. After the games, we'd oftentimes find ourselves with her group of friends at Applebee's or Paradiso's, eating and laughing. She was at every single Young Life event. But probably where we bonded the most is her mom ended up dating this great guy, and it was great, except for he didn't live in Bismarck. And so oftentimes, right before supper time, right before I was about to eat what my mom had made me, I'd get a text that'd say, I'm home alone again tonight. Will you come make me supper and stay with me? So I would pack up my stuff, and this happened probably 3 or 4 times a month on routine for the 2 years of high school. I'd pack up my stuff, I'd go make her supper, we'd eat, we'd do homework together. In the morning, we'd share a bowl of, we'd each have our own bowl of cereal. While we were watching Saved by the Bell, we'd get ready for school. I'd go to UMary, she'd go to BHS, and we were just happy little Young Life leader. And we got to share a lot of fun times through that and also have a lot of good talks. That next year, Angie went back to camp with that same group of friends, and I got to watch her open up to that group of friends and to myself. And she shared all the same things she shared with me the year before, but this time it was emotional. And this time she talked about the abandonment she felt in her life and her unworthiness because her father, her earthly father, would leave her. And although at that moment she wasn't ready to hear that her heavenly father will never leave her, it was such a great moment in realizing that I was no longer her camp counselor. I was her friend. And that is what I love about doing Young Life, is that it gives me the opportunity to really love kids, to really do life with kids, to have fun with kids, which I'll never apologize for doing, and then to get real with kids and to share them, whether they're ready to hear it or not, just how much Jesus loves them, and then continue to run with them, whether they're ready to hear it or not. Angie's story doesn't end there. Her freshman year in college, she called me and she was kind of crying, which was unlike her. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she's like, "Nothing, everything's great." And I'm like, "You're crying, what's wrong?" And she's like, she told me about a retreat she had gone on. And she said, "I was always very thankful for our relationship and my relationship with the other Young Life leaders. And I was always super excited about Young Life events. But it wasn't until this weekend that I realized just how grateful I am. Because it was through all those events. It was through the consistency of your leaders. It was through those friendships that I was given the foundation to really hear what I was ready to hear this weekend and be ready to walk with God." And those are about the best words you can hear after 2 years of quite a dramatic friendship. Angie's doing great now. She loves God. But that is what I love about Young Life, is that we do life with kids. And it's not just for a week of camp in beautiful Colorado. It's for life. And it's for fun. And it's for the ick, too. This summer, I got to go back to Colorado and take a great group of kids. There was a lot of kids, a group of girls who were going off to college who I had known for years, and I'm sad to see them go in about a week, and I don't want to talk about it. And then there was also a group of Angies who I haven't really gotten to know quite yet, and I'm really looking forward to doing life with them in Bismarck as they finish up their high school career and get to know who they really are and share in some really fun memories. But one of the girls who was at camp, as Dan already introduced, was Naomi. And I've known Naomi since she was a freshman all-star on all those varsity sporting events. And I have been to those games and gotten the nice big sweaty hugs. And I'm excited to listen to her share.
Okay, so I'll just start by telling you a little bit about my life before Young Life. I grew up in a Christian home, and I was very blessed with the family I had and how much love and support they gave me. And we went to church, not every Sunday, and our church is actually this church, so I don't know if you recognize me, but I definitely loved Jesus, but I never really understood him because I was intimidated by him, and like he just seemed so great. Why would he come down to my level to be with me? And I was starting, as I got older, probably like the age of 10 to like 11, I started noticing my church leaders, and I would describe them, they had a glow to them. I always asked myself, like, what's different about them? Why are they so content with their life? And, you know, I want that. So I made it a goal for myself to have that. I guess I would describe my middle school relationship with God as awkward, because, of course, that's the awkward stage. And as soon as I hit freshman year, I started noticing Chelsea at the basketball games or the volleyball games or whatever it was. And I went up to my older teammates and I was like, "Guys, like, who is that? You know, like, she's everywhere. Like, I kind of want to know her too." And they told me, "Oh, she's our Young Life leader." And so I started asking them, "What's Young Life?" And they told me about it, and I was too young to start the high school Young Life, but I, even though Wildlife was still through ninth grade, I felt a little too old for that, and so I was just looking forward to my sophomore year. So sophomore year, I started going to the club, and actually at the first club, Dan gave the talk, and so after all the fun and games and the singing, we all sat down and listened to Dan talk, and he introduced Jesus as this dude. I was like, "What do you mean? Like, Jesus isn't a dude or a guy." And I started to relate to that because that's like the language that we use. And I realized that he's just a guy that wants to get to know me and that will never leave me. And soon after, a leader invited me to Campaigners, which is the Bible study. And even though I hadn't gone to camp, they were very like welcoming, and they knew I wanted to get to know God on a deeper level. And so I got to open up with some of my friends that I got to go. And now I was ready for camp. That's all they talked about is camp, camp, camp. And I saw pictures on Facebook, and I wanted that so bad. So the summer before my junior year, I got to go to camp at Crooked Creek Ranch in Colorado. Okay, it was one of the last talks when they do the cross talk, and that's what really stuck out to me of all the speakers' talks, is he and this is my own words, he pretty much said, God sent Jesus because he loves me, not just to get rid of all the bad stuff I've done. And that was really new to me. Even though he did die for our sins, he did it as an act of love. And it just really showed me that he wanted that relationship with me. Going into camp, I had a lot of pressure to be perfect. And in everyone's eyes, I couldn't be sad. I couldn't fail at anything. And I was able to give that up to God and say, like, hey, God, like, I need you. And, you know, he came into my life. But, of course, coming home from camp, reality sets in. I got my cell phone back, you know, and that was kind of not a blessing. I didn't want that back. And the start of my junior year, I started struggling with anxiety and depression at a whole new level than I ever experienced it before. And it was really hard because it was so confusing. I was so blessed, and yet I was sad. I didn't understand that. And I started having trust issues with God because I felt so guilty and so undeserving of this great love that I learned about a month before. But Young Life provided constant leaders and friends to talk to, and my parents were there for me to talk to them too. And towards the second semester, I was able to kind of get a better control of my anxiety, and that got better, but the sadness was still there. So senior year, I struggled more with the sad part, and nothing seemed to make me happy. And I was just putting it off. I was like, I'll go to camp again. Like, I'm going to put it off. And so I got to go to camp again. And that was this past summer. And I knew I had to give up the control because that in itself was overwhelming. I couldn't keep planning hour for hour, minute for minute, my day, every single day, because it just coupled with the depression and it was overwhelming. I need to get grounded again before I go off to college also. That was one of my goals. And again, I was changed. God came into my life again, and he reminded me that he loves me and that I don't need to feel guilty. I just need to accept it. And along with the accepting, what I got out of camp this time is everyone has their own story and their own mess. And it's made me understand people better because I know I'm not perfect, so I can't expect anyone else to be perfect. And I just hope that people can accept themselves. And I'm still struggling, but I have Jesus, and hopefully I can hang on to that. So Young Life Camp didn't just change my life once. It changed it twice. And as I go off to Sioux Falls for college, I'm looking to continue Young Life, and hopefully I can help the younger teenagers and younger kids realize that they can accept any mess that they have in their life, and that they're going to have a God who will love them through it and will never leave them. So thank you.
Hello, there. One other thing I want to ask. Thank you, Naomi, for being honest, being vulnerable, having the guts to do something that most of us in here who say we've been walking with God for 30 years or more wouldn't have the guts to do. Thank you for being honest. And it's only a relationship with Jesus, I think, that allows you to be who you are. And I just have one question, and it's a closed, what we'd call a closed-ended question, so I'm gambling on your answer here.
Okay.
But do you think that your relationship with God would be what it is right now without the community that you've had?
Is it on? Okay.
Yeah.
I definitely don't, because I would have kept that God is up there, mm-hmm. and I'm intimidated of him.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people have told me that God wants a real relationship with me and that he wants to be right there.
And you've experienced that in community.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Definitely, yep.
Thanks. Let me pray for you guys and for Dan. God, thanks so much for Young Life. Thanks for the ministry that's happening. Thanks for Naomi, for Angie, for lives that have been changed. I just pray for her, for Naomi, and for that she would go to Sioux Falls and have a significant difference. I pray that you would lead her into a life of bringing light into the darkness, and knowing you more and more intimately every day, and finding you in community wherever she goes. Pray for the ministry of Young Life, that it would continue to raise up kids like her that will make a difference in their world. It's in your name. Amen.